Well, praise the Lord. Thank you for singing. Thank you, of course, for being here. And we're going to continue on in Colossians. And you remember that last week we started not at the beginning. Next week, I believe we're going to start with verse number 1. But I wanted to show you the heart that was behind and was had for the people of Colossians. And so we started in verse about 9 or so. We're going to look at verses 10 down to 14. And so hopefully you've got your handout there and you can have a little bit of a review of what the apostle prayed for, that they might know the will of God, and on. You can see those things on the top part of the handout there, I believe. But as we continue on now, those are just for reference. We're going to finish out what he was praying and how he was praying for these folks. And so we're going to pray and ask the Lord to bless our time together. We're going to look at verses 10 down to 14. Father, be with us now is our prayer. Thank you for the time of this Bible study. I pray that it gets in us, dear Lord. And I pray we understand how important it is to pray for those that we love. Lord, we can't touch many folks personally, physically, but we can certainly pray for them. And I ask you to bless us now in this time, in Jesus' name, amen. That you might walk worthy of the Lord, verse number 10 says, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. So I want to preach just for a little while, teach through that the Paul's prayer for the Colossians, and we'll trust it'll be a blessing to all of us. And so as we look at these, I remind you tonight that we have influence over people. You say, oh, Pastor, I don't know that I have much influence on people. Well, we can certainly influence what's going on in their life through our prayer life, whether they want us or not. There can be even people in your family say, I don't want to hear that anymore. I don't want you to talk to me about that any longer. And you can honor those wishes. You pray about that. You say, well, I feel like I ought to show them anyways. Well, you make sure that you're being led of the Spirit in that, because sometimes we can do more harm than we do good at that situation. But you make sure you're led of the Spirit. But if you cannot talk to somebody, you can always talk to the Lord about them. And so I remind you all the influence that we can have over people. And I think about this when I'm looking at this study tonight. I'm picturing a concerned wife over a husband that is maybe not doing everything that he ought to do, or maybe he's out a lot, or maybe he's driving late in the night, and she has influence on him. Even if he's not listening, even if he's not home, she's got influence on him because she can pray, and we ought to learn how to pray for those people that we care about. So we want to look at this passage, and so we're going to look at number 1 or number 6, whichever way you look at it, in verse number 10, and we're going to see this, he prays that they'll know God intimately. He prays that they'll know God intimately, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing, look at the last phrase, in the knowledge of God. The objective of every Christian ought to be to know God more, Philippians chapter 3, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, that he prays that they might know God intimately. Why would Paul want them to know God better? You know what that old saying, to know me is to what? Love me. Well, that's not always true with everybody. But the more you know the Lord, the more you will love him, because he's altogether lovely. You'll find no errors in him. You'll find no sin. You'll find no dark spots in him. So it truly is, the more that you know the Lord, the more you will like what he's doing. This is true with the Lord. To know him is to love him, because we understand that we couldn't even love him first, because without him loving us, we only know how to love because of what he did in us to begin with. And so the sweeter, the longer I serve him, as the song goes, the sweeter he grows. And so he prays for them to know him more intimately. But not only that, look at verse number 11. He prays for them to be strengthened with all might. He prays for them to be strengthened with all might, that these believers would be empowered with what God wants them to do. And can you understand and you sense the great care that this apostle has for these people, even though he had not seen them. As we learned last week in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "You haven't seen my face at all." So he doesn't remember them by looking at them, but he knows them and he's been praying for them. I think about our missionary here tonight. I met him one time over at the church in Greenville, but we pray for him. And so I'm glad that he gets to be here tonight. And we'll get him out there in the lobby here in just a little bit. And so that you'll put a picture, put a face with the name as you pray and you get to go to God on his behalf. And so the apostle hasn't seen these people, but he prays, "Lord, I ask you to strengthen them with all might according to his glorious power." Why would he pray for strength in their life? Well, I can tell you why. Life's tough. Life's tough back then. Life is tough now. I became a teenager in 1986, and people who were my parents' age thought, boy, this is a tough time to be a teenager. My oldest son became a teenager in 2013. Maddie, our redhead, she became a teenager in 2015. Allie became a teenager in 2019. And so what they faced in 2013 and 2015 and 2019 made 1986 look like the good old days. I didn't have the internet. Al Gore hadn't invented it yet. You remember he talked about that? We didn't have the internet. We didn't have a computer. A lot of people did in 1986. We didn't have one. We didn't have cable TV. I thought my aunt and uncle were rich because we go to their house. They had cable TV. I thought that was the sign of a rival, you know, in life. I thought, wow, if you get to that status, you could watch those old, you could watch Andy Griffith and all those shows all the time. We didn't have internet. We had a TV. It got three stations, so 3, 8, and 13, NBC, ABC, CBS. We didn't have access to, we didn't have an iPod, an iPad, a MacBook, anything else. We just had what we had, and there were still tough times, but those tough times make these tough times look like they're astronomically worse. Well, it didn't start in 1986. It didn't start when you became a teenager. Way back here, when the Colossae people were going through the struggles they had, they needed to be strengthened. That's why the Apostle Paul was praying for that. He says, would you strengthen them with all thy might. In Ephesians chapter 6, we understand about the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God and stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, I understand that things are off the rails right now. But you know, it's never been easy to stand up and live for Jesus Christ. We somehow make it seem like, oh boy, if you could only live back then. You remember they didn't call the Roaring Twenties because of the flames of revival lapping up everywhere. It was for other wicked ways or other wicked reasons. And so I'm just saying that every generation has needed strengthened, and this one is no different. Strengthened with all might. So he prays that. But then he also prays in verse number 11 that they might have patience that they praise for that, to possess patience and see how God's working. Look at the end of verse number 11. Unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. And so we understand that he prays and says, Lord, I pray that they would be strengthened. But I also pray that they could see, how could I say it, what they're not able to see. And that really takes patience from the Lord to see what you really can't see right at the time being. Paul prays for these people to wait on God and just trust him and see what he's doing. In Psalm 27, the Bible says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart." How many of you have had to wait on God to do a few things that you wish he'd move faster? I heard that old story about this old Christian. He was just pacing back and forth and back and forth in the room, and a younger protege sort of his came in, and he said, "Pastor," whatever he called him, "what's wrong?" And he said, "Oh, nothing. I'm in a hurry, but God's not." How many of you have ever been in a hurry, but God wasn't? And I don't have to ask you, but most of you have lived long enough to realize that his timing was better than your timing. If you'd have got it all wrapped up when you thought it would have been a horrendous mistake. And so he asks for patience in them. He says, unto all patience and long-suffering. We all like the thought of long-suffering. We just don't like the action of it. We love it when other people are that way, but sometimes it's tough for us. I take you to a Bible illustration. What did Peter do in Gethsemane when those soldiers came and Judas said, it'll be the one that I kiss. That's the one that you're supposed to take. And they come and he kisses him, and the betrayer betrays and shows who the Messiah is, who the one that they're looking for is. And Peter says, not on my watch. He takes that little dagger, whatever he's gotten, slices a little bit off the side right there. And what did Jesus do? He picked up that ear and put it back on, and he sort of rebuked him there. And what was the big problem? The big problem was Jesus knew what he was going to do, but Peter was tired of waiting on Jesus to do what Jesus was going to do. He had no patience. Well, that's typical of him because he usually would run out ahead of everybody. And some of you are like that, and some of us all have that tendency, but some of you worse than others, I understand. The blessing of that is Peter worked out good for him. God still used him even in his impetuous ways. But what he could have had was some of that patience and long-suffering. And then look at what the last word of the verse is, joyfulness. Now, what this doesn't imply is, all right, God, I'm waiting, but I don't like it. He says, while you're waiting, while you're patient, you might as well be having a good time. And that, my friend, is harder than being patient when you add the joyfulness on top of it. But he says, he prayed that they would have patience and they would possess that patience to see what the Lord was doing. You remember when we were looking through the book of James not long ago in James chapter 1, the people were told to count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. He says, just live it up when you fall into all these various trials. Well, Lord, I don't like to live it up in trials. I like to live it up more in the party season. I like to live it up more when everything's going well. I like to live it up when the bills aren't mounting up. I like to live it up when the car isn't breaking down. I like to live it up when the furnace isn't going out. I love to live it up when the medical bills aren't stacking up. But God says in the book of James, count it all joy even during those times that you don't like. And that's what he tells them here, or that's what he prays here. He says, Lord, I pray that they would have patience and long suffering. And while they're at it, God, would you give them some joyfulness along with that? That means I'm waiting on God and I like it. And even when I don't like it, I like and love Him enough to trust Him and be joyful in it. So he prays for them that they would possess patience to see how God is working. Why don't you look at the last one, point number 9, if you're looking, taking the notes there, but look at verse number 12. Giving thanks unto the Father. Now he's getting ready to close his prayer. And he's telling, I'm giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, or that just means fit, made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. If we get verse 12 down, it helps us get verse number 11 down, because if we remember that we're partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, then it helps me have more joy in the long suffering and patience that God wants me to have. Verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. What power of darkness? What did power of darkness get overcome by? That inheritance of the saints in light. And he hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. And so we understand here that we're supposed to, he is praying with a thankful heart. Now, this particular way that Paul is, he's done praying for them, but the way he says, and now, the Lord, this is how I'm praying. I'm praying with a thankful heart. I believe he was praying for them to have a thankful heart, but I believe he was reminding himself that he needed to have a thankful heart to begin with. And can I remind you that sometimes when you're in your prayer time and when I'm in my prayer time, sometimes I don't feel too thankful. And at those times, what helps and assists me is to start on those little baby steps down there that any old person could realize that you ought to be thankful for. As I breathe in, well, Lord, I'm thankful for that. You said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. So, Lord, I praise you for that. You say, Pastor, you ought to be able to do better than that. I know, I try to get better. But sometimes you got to start down there at on the bottom shelf. So, well, not only can I do that, but you can open up your back doors. We got a beautiful view out our back, off our back porch. You look over Margie Hale's property, and then you can see the trees back there and back on Buffalo Ridge. And say, Lord, that's a beautiful scenery that you painted. I like to see the sun pop up over there. Sometimes you don't see it. There's so many clouds. But I say, well, Lord, it's still back there, and I'm thankful for that. And so we understand that he's with a thankful heart. And then he gets deeper on that. Again, sometimes I just get on that bottom shell, and I gotta hit the slow and easy ones across the plate and swing at those before I can get to the upper level ones, because look in the verses at some of the upper level ones. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us to fit or meet to be partakers of the inheritance. What's that talking about? That's talking about my salvation. It's talking about the fact that I don't have to worry about my sins anymore. I'm an inheritant. I'm an inheritor. I'm an heir. He's given me these things. I'm the inheritance of the saints. And the inheritance of the saints have a lot of light shined on them. And that's in contrast to verse number 13, because of what we used to be living in. But he delivered us from the power of darkness, and he hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So I'm remembering my inheritance. But not only am I remembering my inheritance, and I say, Lord, I've got heaven to look forward to. I've got all of these blessings to look forward to. And not only that, but I'm remembering that I was delivered from that wicked thing that I deserved. You ever get down in the dump so far, what you ought to just do is start thinking about where you really deserve to spend eternity at. Yeah. And then some of those things start gushing over a little bit. And so Paul is having thankfulness in his own heart, but I believe wants them to have thankfulness as well. And so he remembers the inheritance, but then he remembers that deliverance. And then the last one in verse number 14, he remembers, not only was I delivered, but I'm redeemed. You say, aren't they similar or same thing? Yes, but it's just several ways to say the exact same thing. He says, in whom we have redemption. I've been bought back. I've been redeemed. You know what it's like to have a coupon that you redeem. That little coupon, you take it and you get that 2-for-1, or you get that buy one whatever, and you get something else, and all of those. You redeem those. You take advantage of them. Well, he says that in whom we have redemption. That means we've been freed through his blood. And just in case some of us hard-headed people don't get it, he says, even the forgiveness of sins, just in case we're forgetting what we're talking about here. And so he prays for them to be thankful. Oftentimes people try to prod and poke and get their spouse or their family members to be a more grateful somebody. Can I tell you, instead of prodding and poking, what we ought to try doing is praying. Lord, I want to thank you for some things, and I pray that you'd help them realize how blessed they are as well. I've been told that Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher from yesteryear in London, would ask whenever somebody came to counsel with him, Pastor, we need to meet with you, set up a time after the service, whenever. Sometime through the week, he would ask them, I didn't read this personally, but I've been told in some readings, he would ask them, are you daily walking with the Lord? Meaning, are you in your Bible and you're in prayer? And if they said no, listen to what he did. He would send them home and tell them to come back in 2 weeks. Now, every day for the next 2 weeks, I want you to be in your Bible. I want you to be praying. Why on earth would he do that? Because he knew that the heart would be a lot more fertile. He knew that the heart would be a lot more receptive to whatever counsel, instruction that he gave if they were spending time thanking the Lord for what he had done in their life. And so the apostle prays for them with a thankful heart, for them to have a thankful heart as well. So I don't know whether you've got a child that is going astray. Maybe you've got an adult child that's not doing what you want them to do. We're not doing what you want them to do, but and that's not as important. But not doing what the Bible wants them to do is what I should say. I hope that tonight we've learned some tools. You've seen some things that will help them, and you can strengthen your walk, and you can also strengthen their walk, because regardless of how powerful you think your influence is, some of us think we have the power of persuasion. If only I could talk to them for so long. Listen, my friend, you can only talk so much. You've heard that old saying, I'm blue in the face. You can talk to your blue in the face and go three shades past that, and they may still not hear it. But what they cannot keep you from doing is praying for them like the Apostle Paul prayed for these people. Pray for them that they would know God. Pray that they would be strengthened and they would possess patience and they'd be thankful. I can guarantee you this. You would, your child, your spouse, your family member, whoever it is, it will be much harder for that person to step over what they shouldn't step over and make decisions that will ruin and wreck their life. It will be much harder to do with you praying on your knees for them. God gives us a free will. They may still do it. But in prayer, we're going to make it as hard as we possibly can. It's one of the things among many that I love about our church. So Brother Bill, we were talking about earlier, praying one for another earlier tonight. And that's what I enjoy, praying for folks. And I love people praying for me, because I realize that when we can't be together, we can still pray one for another. And we can take some lessons from the Apostle Paul as he asked for these people to be strengthened, be strong in that. And so these intimate prayers show the heart that he has for the people of Colossae. And you say, well, there are some people I don't know very well. Well, these people he'd never met. But he still had that passion for them. And may we have passion in prayer as we go on our knees for the people who God has put us in a little bit of responsibility over. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Thank you for this time to be in your word. Lord, I pray that we would be those ones that pray as well. And Lord, as we get fully involved in the ministry of prayer, which is what it is, I pray that we'll take some of the lessons from this passage, take them to heart, and involve them in our lives in Jesus' name. If you're able to, would you stand together with us? The ladies are going to come and play something. Brother Dan's going to come and lead us in Amazing Grace as our invitation song. And as he sings and you follow along with us, if God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. Here's the invitation. Maybe there's something heavy on your heart and you want to come pray about it. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven. I didn't preach about that, but boy, I'd sure love to be able to take the Bible and show you how you can be certain that heaven's your home through Jesus Christ alone, nothing else. If you need help with that, then we'll be down here as well. Whatever your heart's need is, I trust that you'd come if the Lord would lead you. Brother Dan, would you sing?
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. The hour I first meet.
Amen. Thank you. May look this way. Well, I'm going to ask the McIntosh, if you don't mind, to slip back to your table, and I hope that each of you will get by and see them. They're not too far away from us, and so we're glad to have them home for a little bit, and I'm glad they're getting to spend some time with grandchildren, and so you get by and get a prayer card if you don't have one. Be praying for them, and then we're out just a little bit early. I trust that you'll take some time to talk to somebody else and be praying one for another. As I mentioned here just a little bit ago in the lesson, that I love to be able to pray one for another, and for folks to pray for me. And let's take that ministry seriously this week and grab a hold of some of those needs that people might have and pray one for another. Speaking of prayer, Brother Guy King, would you dismiss us in prayer tonight, please?
Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to get together. You desire that this be a house of prayer. And earlier, when Pastor asked, everyone I saw raised their hand saying they have a burden on their heart. You know what all those needs are, and I pray that you will answer them and pour the balm of Gilead upon those people in each different situation. Thank you, Lord, again for this service. Pray that you'll bless us in this coming rest of the week, for we need your blessing. In your name I pray all of these things. Amen.
Thank you, man.